God is better than what we think of as good, because though we're not good of ourselves, in and of ourselves, His goodness is enough for both of us. Job chapter 3, Job's grief lay heavy upon him. He had done everything right. He'd been a good church member. He believed in God. He feared God. He loved God. He obeyed God. He walked perfectly with God. Everything about Job couldn't have been better. Couldn't have been better. And yet, all of a sudden, in 1 hour, Job's fortunes changed. All of a sudden, in 1 hour, everything that Job feared could come on a person. Everything that any man would fear, anything that we fear, suddenly came on him. He lost all of his children, 7 sons, 3 daughters. His whole family was wiped out in just an hour. Everyone that he loved and cared about was gone. And Job sunk. But before that was over, suddenly he lost all of his wealth, all of his financial security. And he was sunk again into deeper affliction and depression. When a man loses his job, when he loses his financial security, his hope of being able to give something away, an inheritance, to take care of himself, he's reduced, lost all of his reputation, his name. He had nothing now. He was devastated. And the devil came to God and said, "You know, God, the talk we had a few days ago, it's a good talk. I said to you that nobody worships you. Nobody fears you. And you said, Job does. You were right. Job still will not curse you. He still won't give up. He's maintaining his integrity. He's maintaining his religion. He's still being very religious." Here's what Job said. "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And Job was patient. No matter what was going on, he lost all of his family. He had no more relationships that mattered, and his wife wasn't even happy with him. And yet Job worshiped God. He lost all of his wealth, all of his security, everything that a man could want. But there's one more thing the devil said. "Okay, it's true. Job won't give you up yet. But touch his skin. Just touch his body. If you just give me him, just turn him over to me." Now that his family is gone, he has no reason to live, but he still worships you. Now that all of his wealth, all of his security, all of his hope in this world, it's gone. "I thought for sure he'd curse you, but I know there's one thing left. Let me have his life. Let me have his health." And God said, "All right, I'll let you have him. Take him." How many know that when God turns you over to the devil, you have nothing to fear? How many know that when God turns you over to the devil and says, "Okay, Satan, go ahead. That's my servant. He's one of my chosen, my special. He's perfect. He's worshiped me from early on. He never misses a day. He knows his theology. He's strong. He's patient. He will not curse me. Go ahead. But don't touch his life. Don't touch his life. I reserve that for my son." Job is not Jesus. So, the devil took advantage of that. Pretty soon he's got boils from head to foot. He sits in silence. Now he's lost everything. He not only has no children, he has no wealth, he can't even move. He's sitting there, and the boils have made him extremely ugly. They itch. He's constantly scraping at his body. He can't even have time to worship God or to think. Everything has gone wrong. There's no hope now. It's something that seems interminable. There's no end to it. It looks like he'll never get out. And this is what he says in such a situation, proving that the devil was correct. He cursed. He cursed. He cursed the day he was born. Now, he didn't curse God. He just cursed the day he was born. I want to show you something. I think we'd all react as Job reacted. First of all, there are what we call spiritual fears. Some of you have come on Sunday morning or Tuesday morning. You've heard me teach that there are fears that are spiritual. Spiritual fears. Then there are psychological fears. Psychological fears. Fears of the mind, the emotions, the will. Things that we fear psychologically. Then there are physical fears. Physical fears are the easiest. Everyone understands physical fears. Something dangerous is happening, and you must either defend yourself or quickly flee. Get out. Get away. And so when a physical fear comes, you have to deal with it. And thank God for physical fears. So suddenly you know there's something wrong. There's a present, immediate danger. And your child is out in the street riding a tricycle. And you suddenly see her. And fear comes all over you. And you run out no matter what. You don't even know if there's a truck coming or anything. You just know this is wrong. And you bring the tricycle back quickly, throwing yourself in harm's way. Perhaps you yourself will be killed, but you don't think about it. Because it's a physical fear. And you are going to save that which must be saved. Not yourself, but that which you love, which is yourself. Yourself is now wrapped up in another. And so physical fears are healthy. They're good. They're a gift of God. Spiritual fears are healthy. They are given by God. But physical fears are immediate, temporal. They don't last. They're just for a moment. The present danger is there, and I either defend myself or I remove myself from that danger. I move away. I run away. I flee quickly. But it's not permanent. I'm just simply solving the physical fear as it came up. The bullet is coming at me. The doctor has just given me a bad report. And physical fear causes me then to take my medicine or to run away or to do whatever I need to do. It's a gift of God. You must have physical fear. So when God says, do not be afraid, he's not talking about physical fear, nor is he talking about spiritual fear. Spiritual fear is permanent. It never leaves. It's continuous. Fear the Lord God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. You must have physical fears. You must have spiritual fear. Now, if you have no spiritual fear, then it's possible. If you have no spiritual fear, it's up to God then to make himself known in such a way that you develop spiritual fear. Because you will be a fool otherwise. I was a fool. I grew up without fear of God. I had no fear of God. Did not fear God. I feared man. I feared physical things. But I didn't fear God. And God had to teach me over the years to have spiritual fear. Otherwise, I'd be a fool. And though I'm still familiar with foolishness, it hasn't yet departed from me entirely. I do it on a regular basis. I don't know if the rest of you are like that or not, whether you do foolish things continuously. But I suspect there are two or three. But I have spiritual fear now that says, go to God when you're a fool. Go to God when you've acted foolishly and ask him for mercy. Ask him for forgiveness. And so I go to God. I run to God. God, I've done it again. I know I said I wasn't going to do it, but I did it. I did it. Just came up and I acted foolishly again as though there were no God. I began to be afraid. I began to be anxious. I began to be nervous. I made some stupid decisions. But God, I've come to you now because I fear you. Now, all psychological fear is evil. All psychological fear is evil. But the solution is run to God. Your spiritual fears will conquer your psychological fears. If you have a psychological fear, a worry, the worry might be imagination. It might be your vain imagination. Well, what if this happens? Well, what if that happens? Well, what if, I know I just said I'll do this, but what if I don't? What if I die? What if I get sick? What if something happens? What if I don't show up? What if I fail? What if I don't finish? What if I begin things but don't finish them? What if? And you can die physically from psychological fear. And many people drink in order not to live with psychological fear, because it's too oppressive, it's too heavy. And God forbids it. He says, don't have any. But even that makes me afraid, because I've got them. Now I'm afraid of what might happen, and I'm afraid of God getting me for what might happen, because I'm scared. And I know I'm not supposed to be, but I am. And so now I fear that maybe I'll even yell at God. And though I'm not yelling with my mouth yet, I might be yelling inside. Maybe I'm afraid that I'll never get married. Maybe I get married and I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I'm full of fear. My God, I don't know what I want. I don't know who I am. I don't know what's going on. I make foolish decisions. If I have a psychological fear, God wants it out. He wants it gone. He doesn't want you to live in psychological fear. He wants you to be happy, free, fearless, bold, like a child, not worried, not living in worry. How many of you live in worry day in and day out, continual, constant, permanent, so much so that you forget that there's a God who loves you, and you are bearing the burden. You are weighed down with grief, with sorrow, with sadness. You walk around not quite dead, but almost like a zombie. Yes, yes, I'll get it. Okay, thank you. Sit down, do this. And you're just simply going through the motions, because all your joy is left, all your hope is left, all of your laughter is gone, because you're weighed down by affliction, by sorrow, by sadness, by pain, because you believe maybe the Lord is speaking to you. Maybe you've sinned too much. Maybe God is angry, disappointed with you. And so psychological fears constantly assail you. You know God is angry at you. That's why that just happened. If you had read your Bible this morning, that wouldn't have happened. And you're afraid. God, I've got to clean up. I've got to change. I've got to live right. I can't. I won't. I'm not. I don't know. And you have not fear of God, but you have psychological fear. You're not afraid of some immediate danger, but it's things you think about at night as you lay in bed. You think about during the day. You try to drink a little. You try to take some pills. You try to do something to distract you. Stay busy, perhaps. Get a new girlfriend. Do something. Eat something. Buy a new dress. Do something. But don't stop and think. Don't stop and meditate, because the fear will come on you. I won't think about dying. I won't think about living. I won't think about the debt. I won't think about all the things I haven't done. I won't think. I won't think. But the fears come, and you can't stop them. And they press in on you. Now, this is a normal life. It's a normal life. But God says, don't have any psychological fears. I know, but that's the one thing I've got. I don't know if I even have spiritual fear. I've got so many psychological fears that I'm afraid even God can't solve. I've tried, I've asked him, he doesn't come through quickly. I don't know if he'll ever come through. I think it's probably up to me. My God, I'm burdened down, I'm weighed down, I'm oppressed. One thing happens after another. One trouble comes, then another trouble comes, and it just seems like now I got so many troubles I should just kill myself. But even then, I'm afraid. I don't know what to do. I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. Whatever way I go, it's not good. I don't ever feel happy. I've lost all my joy, all my peace. Job was afflicted. He was grieved. He was deeply oppressed, and he knew it was the hand of God. He knew this is not due to just something I did wrong. I mean, I've done everything right. I don't know. I thought if you were serving God and you did right, things would go your way, and they did. But oh my God, I feared. I always had that fear in the back of my mind that what if I do everything right and still it goes wrong? And I've always wondered if you do wrong and you're supposed to then have bad things happen. But sometimes people do wrong and good things happen to them. That doesn't make sense. And I'm afraid I got it wrong. Because I thought if you sinned, you'd be poor and sick and dead. But I know somebody, and they're doing well. And they lie, and they're bitter, and they're hard to live with. But look at how they're doing. Good. Look at me. And so there are fears everywhere. Confusion, doubt, worry. Do you all understand Job? Job, it's different if Job had grown up poor and he'd never been well. And, you know, he never got married, never had a family, never had anything. But he served God. He knew it was right. He knew it was right. He feared God. He knew that was right. He worshiped God day in and day out. He was punk. He was extremely conscientious about his God. And he brought everything to God, and he served God wonderfully, and everybody knew it. Look why he's blessed. Look why he's blessed. But the devil said, you know, the only reason he serves you is not because he loves you. He's just doing that because he's afraid. It's just fear. The minute you take away some of his security, he'll curse you to your face. Has anybody had something and then you feared you might lose it? You had something. You have a family. You have a wife. You have a husband. You have some security. You have some financial wherewithal. You've saved up a little bit, and you've got some things going for you. And your health is pretty good. But you're afraid. Yeah, but what if? What if? What if? What if? What if? I'm used to now being blessed, and I like it. How many get used to being blessed? But as Job said, the Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Was Job doubting God when those things happened? No. When everything happened, the devil saw that Job still wouldn't curse God, but he cursed the day he was born. He cursed the day he was born. He said, you know, okay, God, I'm not cursing you. I'm not saying you're not good. I have good theology. I know you're a good God. I'm not going to curse you, but I cursed the day I was born. I wish the light of day had never seen me. I wish there would have been no star that night. I wish a cloud covered everything, because darkness has now eaten up everything I've saved, everything I've built up, everything I've enjoyed. And it was for you, to you, through you, with you. And now look. And I curse, even to your face, God, I curse the day I was born. I'm not saying you. I'm just saying, you give, you take away, okay. And I know you're good, but I hate the fact that I was born. That's a curse. Because he knew God gave him his life. And it looked good for a while. It looked good for a long while. It looked like, hey, you know, I'm living in Texas. You know, what could be better? I mean, things are going well. Gas under everybody's land. You know, if there's not an oil well, there's a gas well. I mean, it's awesome to be here. You know, and people are good here. They love Jesus still. It's the Bible Belt. It's not like New York. It's not like, you know, San Francisco. This is a great place to be. I've made it. I've arrived. Live in a good home. Live on a good street. Got things going for me. You know, there's hope here. Can do. That's the Texas spirit. We can do it. There are people here, you know, it's not like New York. 1929, the stock market fell and people jumped out windows. Here, you can't jump out windows. There's only one story. You see the cowboy just falling out the window. It's nothing. Falling off his horse is more dangerous. So here, you know, everything's going our way. It's one thing to have everything and then to lose it. But here in Texas, we're looser on that. Well, you lose it, but you know, the land will still produce. There's still hope. You get married again. Try it again. One thing after another. I'll just do it again. There's hope. Yeah, the first thing didn't work out. How many know that every time God sets out his plan for humanity, it fails? Every time. He puts it forth. He says, no, I'm going to create the world. I'm going to have people on it. I'm going to have crickets and people. The crickets will do what I say. The people, I'm going to give them freedom to be like me. I'll give them the freedom to worship me. Not, I won't force them. The crickets have to. Crick, crick. Very good. So the crickets are all right. They've done nothing wrong. But mankind, I'll give him the freedom to either turn away from me or to turn toward me. Plan A, turn toward me. Here's what will happen if you turn away from me. Things will happen to you that you won't like. It won't be good. Turn toward me. You'll be blessed and rewarded. Well, plan A had a flaw in it. People. The problem with plan A was people. Have you ever noticed that? The people are unreliable. Not yourself, but other people. I mean, other people around you. People fail. They don't come through. They promise much, but they don't come through. And because they have liberty, you can't control them. Have you ever tried to control another person that you're close to that, you know, look, I'd be a lot happier if you just stay in your spot. Get back. People mess things up. So God knew that plan A wouldn't work. So plan B, where if it could go wrong, it might, happens. If it could go wrong, it does every single time. Plan A never worked for God. Having a holy people was just a great idea, a concept, something he put down, a little covenant, little agreement with man. Now look, you behave yourself and I'll bless you. You do wrong and I'm going to get you. Well, it seems like we all went for plan B. Everybody sinned. Everybody fell short of the glory of God. God had in mind something that it never happened. His own plan fell down. See, God's a failure. God messed up. And Job is now almost cursing, but not quite. He's cursing God, but not quite. He's not really cursing God. He knows it isn't the problem with God. It's with the plan. But how many know that plan A always fails? Always fails. You've had plan A. You got married. You got a job. You went through school. You had a plan. Hey, if I just do this, then this good thing will happen. And you did it. But something else happened too. Either plan A didn't happen at all, or another part of the plan fell down. I made the money but lost the wife. I kept the wife but lost my health. Should have killed her. Plan A doesn't ever work. You have to trade off things. Okay. Now, sooner or later, it builds up inside of you psychologically, when you just get to the point of losing your religion and you just go, God, I curse the day I was born. I wish I was never born. I had all this stuff and you took it away. Why even be born? I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming myself and life. It stinks. And I hate to say this because I know you're a good God. I hope this doesn't trouble you too much. Hang on. Because I'm not done. And there just comes a day when you have to tell him. Okay, I've been building it up for years. I didn't say anything. I kept my mouth shut. But I got to say something now. I cursed the day I was born. I wish there was never the light of day. I wish the darkness had covered everything. I wish my day was not even in the month. And that month was never even in the calendar. I hate life. I hate it. Because what's the point of living? What's the point? What's the point? Why be good? Why worship? I mean, I'm not saying I'm not. I'm just saying why? What's the point? I don't understand. You haven't explained. How many know that God hasn't done anything wrong, but he won't explain himself? Okay, if it was my sin, I'd understand. All right, what? What have I done wrong now? I'm always doing wrong, so it's probably me again. What? What are you after? Say it. I don't think I did anything wrong. Okay, I sound like I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm just saying whatever I did wrong, I asked forgiveness for it. I did everything you're supposed to do. No, I won't accept that. My friends are all saying that. They've all got reasons why I'm going through what I'm going through. I don't think there's any reason at all. I think there's no reason. I don't know why you're doing this. Could you explain? And there's that buildup inside of you that says, I know I'm not supposed to complain like this. Is there a difference between spiritual hatred of God and psychological? Is there a difference between psychologically cursing and spiritually cursing? Maybe Job's curse is not spiritual, it's just psychological. It's like the little girl, she's just three, and you say to her, honey, I want you to go to bed right now. No, you're going to bed right now. I'm going to spank you if you do. Oh, I hate you. Now, are they speaking spiritually? They really hate you? Or is it just psychologically, I don't want to go to bed? What do you say? You could hit them across the face and say, don't you ever say that again. That's one parental response. You don't hate. They didn't hate. All she meant was, I don't want to go to bed. And I don't see why my sister gets to stay up and I don't. That's all she meant. It wasn't real. It wasn't number one. It was just number two. It was just a psychological thing. I don't want to miss out. She's getting to have fun and stay up, and I have to go to bed. Why? Because she's 17 and you're 3. I don't understand. I can stay up too. And to a little kid, they're not hating you. They just don't want to go to bed. They want to stay up. They don't want to miss out. Teenagers are like that. They don't want to miss anything that's going on. Hey, what's happening? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. Let's all meet then. To do what they don't know. Because they don't want to miss. What's that? You know, let's just drive somewhere. Come pick me up. Okay, I'll be ready. And they don't have any idea. They have no plan. They just don't want to miss out. You know, we're 17, we're 18. We don't want to miss out. Whatever's going on, let's be part of it. Where is it? I don't know. I think so-and-so might be having something. Let's go. You know, that's teenagers. They're not evil. They just don't want to miss out. They're afraid they're going to miss out because, you know, they're no longer 10 and 11. They don't want to miss out. Pretty soon they'll be an adult and get married. So, what are you going to do? Well, maybe you'll cry out like Job did and say, God, I hate the day I was born. I'm not hating you. I'm just hating the day I was born. I'm just expressing myself here. I'm doing that on the inside. I might as well do it on the outside. You know, I'm afraid. I'm full of fear. I'm full of fear. And so Job expresses his fear. But who does he express it to? The Lord God. Because if you want to get rid of number two, which you're not supposed to have, ever, you're never supposed to live in fear. But he's talking about psychological fear. So the way to get rid of it is to take it to the one that can get rid of it, God. The God who made you is the God who redeems you, is the God that will set you free and empower you and pull you out of your distress. That's the God I want to go to. That's the one I fear. Fearing God, then I don't want to have any other fears. Can't have two gods. I can't fear two things. Physical fears are part of the fear of God. He built you that way. He made you that way. He wants you to be that way. But psychological fears will eat you alive. They will paralyze you. They will destroy you. If you're full of fear, psychological, you'll make bad decisions every time. I'll make a decision to solve my fear, but it won't solve it. For example, I'll drink because that will solve my fear. I feel better. I just feel real relaxed now. I just feel a lot better. Well, that's great. That was a brilliant decision on your part. It was brilliant. Didn't cost a lot because it's only beer. Brilliant. Very good. You know, it wasn't champagne or something. It was just beer. Very good. How many does it take? And so on. So you're making brilliant decisions. And now you've got another brilliant decision after puking. You have another brilliant decision. I need to go to sleep right now, you know. And then I got, maybe I need a pill. And pretty soon my whole life is so messed up. And then I lose a job and I'm not stable and I forgot about it in the morning. And so, and pretty soon my life is a shambles. I haven't paid my bills. And, you know, one thing leads to another because I'm brilliant. See, no, I was brilliant because I had a problem and I solved it. I just didn't go to God. God, are you into Heineken or Budweiser? No, God doesn't have a word on that. God doesn't have a word on that. So he's not going to help you in that one because that's not how you solve your psychological fears. It isn't the beer that's so wonderful. It's the other pain that I don't want to feel. I want to escape. I need a little pleasure. My life is boring. I need something. And often when you're starting to compromise, you want to have something that keeps you from thinking about that because your conscience is agitating. And it's saying, you know what? You're not living for God. You were raised in this church, but you're not living for God. You've been taught, you know, but you're not living. You're not like Pastor Jim says, you're not praising God for all things. You're mad right now. You're unhappy right now. And you just did something stupid. How many know that happens? You know better. Your theology is good. I know the right answer. Praise the Lord. But I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. And I'm not calling Pastor Jim. I'm not going to, because I know what he'll say. People always say, they call and say, I know what you're going to say. It's like, well, why call? They just called to punish me. You know, why are you calling? Well, okay, listen to the problem and try not to be theological for a few seconds. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm hurting. This is a bad situation. Hallelujah! I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say that. So, your psychological fears are unfounded. You have to ask God, God, can I have that fear? No. That's why you don't want to go to God. Because you're not allowed to have fears that are psychological. You can't have them. Man, what is there but worry? What is there? What is life? How could you even talk to anybody at the drinking fountain? Hi, how are you? Great, praise the Lord, hallelujah. No, that's not what it is. It's, hi, well, had a bad night last night. Yeah, me too. And then, you know, if you just be quiet, I'll tell you mine. That makes you get along with people. Your face looks sour, theirs looks sour. You get along, people like you. You're normal. A normal person does not have a big smile on his face. It's like, ew, I don't want to be with you. What? What's wrong with you? Happy people are scary, aren't they? Wouldn't you be afraid to be happy all the time? You know, it'd be frightening because you know something bad would happen. You know God and the devil would work out some deal on you. Hey, what are you doing? I'm just being happy for a little while. Well, be careful, not too much. Give you an hour. That's about it. You stay happy all the time, you know the devil's going to get you. He's just waiting for you to over-smile. But if you will kind of like plan on a lot of bad things and maybe one or two good things to balance it off, all right, he'll let you go. But don't you dare be happy all the time like Pastor Jim is telling you to do. Do you see how the devil is right there daring you? Yeah, go ahead and watch what happens. People sometimes will stand up in church and say, you know, after what I've heard in this church, I'm changing. I'm gonna be happy from now on. And you know all hell is going to break loose. And you know, while you're laughing, you're almost like, oh, God, I remember the last person that stood up. That Pastor Jim is treacherous. He's leading you out, you know, where there's no more, you know, you're just kind of loose and you're not paying attention. When the devil just strikes. And now I tell you, that fear is in us. I don't want to be happy too much. I want to kind of stay in a little bit of sin so I don't have too much pride. I want to have a few sins. I'll just keep a few. I'm not having a lot. Just they're kind of ordinary good Christian sins. They're not extraordinary. I'm not going to be happy all the time. Amen? How many? The devil's just waiting for you to make a bold statement like Job. The Lord giveth, Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I tell you, the devil was just waiting for that. And God said, oh, go ahead, take him. He's now remember, this is not Job's friends. This is not you. This is not Mrs. Job. This is Job. Job gave God permission. Job said, God, everything in me wants to serve you, follow you, obey you. This is a mature man, and that's why God even said to the devil, have you been walking to and fro and up and down? Have you noticed my servant Job? Touch him. He'll bless me. Because he knows I give and I take away. He'll trust me. Go ahead, touch him. And the devil says, let me have him. I said you could have him. Take him. Now, he didn't do that with you. You'd have to give God permission. Did you hear what I just said? You'd have to give God permission. You'd have to decide, I'm favored of God. You'd have to decide the Bible is true. You'd have to decide God is good. You'd have to make that decision, and then the devil has permission to challenge that, to raise a claim against you and say, do they serve you for no reason? Don't they serve you because they're getting something? They don't really love you. Admit it, God. And God is saying, no. Have you seen my servant Job? Have you seen my servant Gene? Have you seen my servant John? Take away his job. He'll praise. Isn't that right, John? Amen. Praise God. You remember when you lost your job, how you just shouted, hallelujah. You remember how when you emptied your pockets out? Remember how excited you were? And those people that were crying out of joy. When you're put through a trial, a test, an affliction, and you don't know whether it's your sin or just God or the devil or people or what, you don't know what to do. But God has an answer. Praise me. Relax. Don't be afraid. It just flows from the lips. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Praise the Lord. I tell you, it's so easy to come forth. Let's just say that. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It just comes. It's so easy. Praise the Lord. The Lord giveth. The Lord taketh. You know. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See how easy it is. See, actually, you can do it. You physically, your mouth actually can form those words. But there's something in us, a fear, a gnawing worry, anxiety, something that's a dread, a deep dread. Here's how Job ends up this chapter. The thing that I feared came upon me. The thing that I dreading, happened. That's what I always feared, that I would serve God, I would be good, I would love my family, I would enjoy all the things He's given me, I'd be generous to the poor, I've done everything that I could possibly do, I was active in my community. I mean, I don't see how anything could go wrong, but that fear came to me. What if you omitted something? Maybe you didn't do everything right. Maybe you've done almost everything right, but there's something you forgot. Or maybe there's no reason at all and God just lets the devil have you. My God, it could happen. How many know it could happen? Just out of the blue. Nothing you'd done wrong. I mean, it'd be easy if it was my sin, because then I could get to it. And there'll always be church members who will come and say, you know, sister, I know why you're going through what you're going through. I know you're having a trouble right now, but let me comfort you. It's a sin in your life, and I know what it is. I'm going to comfort you, and I know it's going to be a little painful, but if you'll just, do you realize that 3 weeks ago, you were supposed to do such and such, you didn't do it. Now, I think you know you didn't do it. And because of that, this has happened to you. If you'll just confess, if you'll just make up for that, everything will be fine. Things will return. You know, God's trying to speak to you, and you've been a little stubborn. You've been a little stubborn. You have. But thank God I'm here to tell you. And I tell you, even if people don't say it, you're thinking, they're thinking it. It's like, oh my God, people are going to hit at me. I'm not even going to go to church. I'm not going to go. Because I know they'll have a word that will condemn me. I know they'll have a word, and if anything I say, it's not going to come out. Now, if I defend myself, they'll attack me. If I don't defend myself, they'll think they're right. I'm damned if I. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I just won't. I won't go anymore. I like to go. I would like to go. I need help. I need encouragement. But I don't want to be judged. I tell you, people are always helpful. They're always there to give you a good theology. Brother, if you only, you know, did you praise every day? No, I didn't. Well, see, that's it right there. Did you give a tithe? 8%. No, that's it. That 2%. Get that in. This will be over. And so people have, and it doesn't matter if they articulate it or not, you know they're thinking it. And you can feel it. You can feel it. You can feel it. And you want to defend yourself. No, it's not me. I didn't do anything. Maybe I did. But God hasn't shown me. And I don't accept what you say. I don't think there's a reason. I don't know why this is happening. Brother, if you were closer to God, if you were closer to God, He would tell you. Have you asked Him? You don't want to even talk. Have you asked Him? Look at what happened to me. What do you mean, have I asked Him? You know, and so you know you better not say anything. Now you're vulnerable. Now you're in Job's condition. 7 days, his friends. He was naked. Pulled off all his clothes. He had nothing to cover him, hide him. He was naked, scraping. The itching was so severe. He couldn't live a second without it. Constantly thinking about his children being lost and then all of his wealth and his security and his reputation and everything. And now his body ached with pain and grieving and sorrowful, and God Himself won't answer and won't speak and won't talk. And now my friends have come to comfort me, and all they can do is accuse me, and they're not saying anything, but I know what they're thinking. It's painful. How many want to be in that condition? How many want to be in that condition? Just if, I mean, if that's what it takes to purify you, how many want to be in that condition? 3 or 4 of you. But it is very good. May it be to you as you have spoken. No. You don't want to be in that condition. I don't want to be where Job was. I don't want to give God permission even to do it. Because I fear that he might leave it too long. And I know what the Bible says about, you know, He won't tempt you beyond your strength, but I have a different interpretation of the word beyond. I think beyond doesn't mean what he thinks beyond means. And we have that fear. I don't care where it is. I don't care what your theology says in your head. The fears come out of your belly, out of your gut. They're psychological. It's what you think. It's what you feel. And even if you don't articulate it, it's there. It's there, gnawing away at you. You know God isn't good. You know God isn't good. You've got to accuse Him. He's a bad God. Would you do this if you were God to your beloved? No. Look what God has done. And the accusing voice is inside of you. You might as well articulate it to God because He can hear you loud and clear. So Job finally said, after 7 days, this is what he said. This is what he said. He opened his mouth. And he didn't have any nice sermon. Let the day perish wherein I was born, in the night in which it was said, there is a man, child, conceived. Now, what Job was saying, he wasn't saying he was conceived that morning. What he was saying was, I was conceived 9 months earlier, but the moment I was born, the conception came into fullness. My family, being Jewish, rejoiced that a male was born. You see, in the Jewish household, every mother in Israel knows that a male child is superior to a female child. Are you aware of this? And if a female is born, it's good, very good, good. What, name her Maria or something bitter, because it's a girl. But if it's a male child, it could be the Messiah. It could be your chosen. It could be something powerful, and the whole community hears about it. Jacob had a male child. Hallelujah! And there's great mirth and merriment, drinking and dancing. Abraham has had Yitzhak, not Yitzhaket. Thank God. Mazel tov. Life, life, l'chaim. You know, and everybody is happy because something good has happened. And here is Job saying, I curse the day I was born. I wish I was not brought to birth. I wish I wasn't dangled on the knee. I wish I had never taken the breast. I wish nothing had happened. I wish the sun hadn't shone the next morning. I wish the stars had been extinguished in the night. I wish a dark cloud hung over it. I wish that day was not numbered among the months and part of the year. I hate that day. I curse that day. Look, look what I've enjoyed all these years, and now it's taken away from me, and there's no hope left. And I will not hope. And I hate religion. I hate everything now. I don't hate God, but I hate all the stuff I believed in and secured myself in and hoped in and rejoiced in. I don't have any joy left. He had to express this. So his friends being there, not saying a word, Job finally expresses himself after 7 days of mourning. It's part of the Jewish law, 7 days. And after these 7 days, he said, let the day be darkness. Let not God even regard it from above. Neither let the light shine upon it. Let the darkness and the shadow of death pollute it. Let a cloud dwell upon it permanently. Let the blackness of the day terrify it, not allow it to be. As for the night, let darkness seize upon it. Let it not be joined to the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Lo, let that night be solitary. Be isolated, be not numbered among the other ones. Let no joyful voice come therein. Let them curse it that curse the day. If you have anybody that curses, let him curse that day. Who are ready to raise up Leviathan, their mourning, the sadness, the devouring beast. Let the stars of the twilight be dark. Let it look for light but have none. Neither let it see the dawning of the day, because it shut not up the doors of my mother's womb. I would that it did, nor hid sorrow from mine eyes. I wished I had never seen life. Why did I not die from the womb? Be stillborn. Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly? Why did the knees prevent me, or the breast that I should suck? For now I should have lain still and been quiet. I should have slept. I should have been at rest. With kings and counselors of the earth, which build their desolate ruins, places for themselves. He's talking about their tombs, their magnificent pyramids. Or with princes that had gold and filled their houses with silver. What's the point? Or as a hidden, untimely birth, I had not been. I wished I had not been. As infants which never saw the light. There, in death, the wicked cease from troubling. And there, the weary are at rest. There, the prisoner rests together, whether they're the oppressor or the oppressed. And they hear not the voice any longer of the oppressor. The small and the great are there. The servant is finally free from his master. Wherefore was light given to him that was in now in misery, and life unto the bitterness of my soul. I long for death, but it does not come. And I dig for it more than they that dig for hidden treasure, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they find the grave instead. Why is light given to a man whose way is hid, and whom the Lord God has hedged in? For my sighing comes before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the things which I greatly feared, now it's come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is now happened. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. So here is the voice of someone whose cry you don't want to cry, but everyone here does. Even if everything that you fear hasn't come upon you because you're not mature enough to do so. But even if that's not the case, you fear it. The fear is there. You haven't articulated it, but I hope that never happens to me. That's why Jesus came. To let all your fears, there's one fear left, death, the last enemy. And Jesus said, is this what you're afraid of? Are you afraid of health going? Then let them beat me. Are you afraid of losing all their friends? Then let them separate me. Are you afraid of wealth departing? Let it all happen to me so that you know that I have no fear of any of those things. Neither have you. I fear God. And because I fear God and go to God, I won't fear what He tells me not to fear. I will only fear what He tells me to fear. I'm under orders. And I trust Him. And I love Him. And I worship Him. And that was Job. Job actually was expressing his psychological fears because he had no spiritual fear. Did you hear me? The reason he could express his psychological fears like that, and he meant it, but he had no spiritual fear that God had rejected him. He just didn't understand. And he was letting God know, God, because you love me, I'm talking. I'm going to speak out. I'm going to be myself here. It's just my psychological self. It's not my spiritual faith. I'm not getting rid of you. I'm not breaking off our relationship. I'm just telling you it stinks and I hate it. And I wish you just not ever had me be born. I wish you just kept me up there. I don't get it. I don't understand. I'm not demanding to understand. I just don't. My theology is correct. I'm not questioning it. I just have never experienced this. I wish now I had never experienced it. It's just his psychological fear. How many have this kind of fear? You know you're not supposed to have it, but you have it. You're not supposed to have it, but you have it. You know you're supposed to praise God, but you don't. You yell at Him and you curse Him. Maybe even say something awful to God. Something you shouldn't have said. God, I hate you. I'm not like Job. I hate you. Maybe you said that. If you didn't say it, you thought it. It's okay. It's okay. The Bible actually says, Job sinned not with his mouth. He might have sinned otherwise. He might have had those fears, but he wasn't afraid of God. So he said, God, I don't care. I know you love me, but I'm going to express myself. I need to say this. I need to get this off my chest. I hate you. Remember the little girl? I hate you. Doesn't mean it. It's just psychological. It's just being herself. Peggy's done it many times. It's nothing. It's nothing. I know she doesn't mean it. I know she doesn't mean it. She used to ask me, now, do you really love me? No. And she knows he doesn't mean it. He's just saying that psychologically. He's just saying that because that's the way it appears to him right now. Like, you know, she wasn't even thinking what I was thinking. What I was thinking was, you're trying to control me right now. No. If I say yes, I know what you're going to do. You're going to make me prove it. I ain't going to do it. No. How many know that girls are treacherous? Thank you. Thank you. I had one male response. But I suspicion that there were some others that just didn't raise their hand. It's okay. Peggy's as treacherous as I am. And so when she says, you know, I hate you, or I don't love you, or why am I with you, or something like that, I don't pay attention to it. She's just talking. What does she know? She's actually trying to say I love you. She doesn't know how to talk. Do y'all understand? It's okay. It's only psychological. It's not deep. And even if it were, God is still for me. I don't really need to know. Why do I need to know anything? Job's problem was, he was trying to ask God, God, could you talk? Could you say something? Could you explain it? I could endure it if you just explain what you're doing. It would help, you know. I am your beloved, you know. It would help. All right, you won't talk 7 days? I'll talk. I'll talk. It's okay. God knew he was going to talk. How many know God knows the end from the beginning? He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're feeling. He knows what you want. You don't want what he's just given you. Here, how do you like that? What is this? This is for my good? I'll talk to the devil. You give this to me, your beloved? What do you give to your enemies? God knows you're just talking. How many know that sometimes you just talk? It's just psychological. It's not deep. It's not deep. God isn't cutting you off because you say that. He's not mad at Job. It's psychological. That is as high as the flesh can go, number two. The highest the flesh can go is just number two. It doesn't go any higher. It can't go up into the spiritual. What you feel and think and want is nothing. It's just you. It's you apart from God. Apart from God, you can do nothing. It's nothing. That's as high as you can go. God didn't hear this. He heard this. God is so wise, and any parent is wise to listen carefully to their wife, to their husband, to their children, to their pastor. You have to be wise and learn to distinguish the voice that loves you may speak to you the truth, and it may not come across the way you want because it's not geared for you. It's not geared to show you as though you're in charge. You're not in charge. Isn't that wonderful? You're not in charge. You're not in charge. You're not in charge. How many of you have married and thought, total imagination, I will control her or him? For one thing, I'm smarter. How many know that wives are smarter than husbands? And how many, yeah, see, I got some responses. It's just obvious. And how many know that husbands are smarter than wives? See, got one response, but I know the rest are liars. How many are lying? Okay. It doesn't matter. You are not smart. God is smart. You are not powerful. God is powerful. It's okay. God is not out to spank you. He's not out to discipline you and hurt you and harm you. He's out to bless you. God is good. God is always good. Number one always conquers number two and three. With number one, I don't have to worry about two and three. Even if I mess up plan A, fall into plan B, hook, line, and sinker, it doesn't matter. God is still number one. He still will have his way, and he's never been defeated, and he never will, and he loves you, and you will be preserved and prospered and made holy. It's God's will. It's God's will. Doesn't want you to help him. He doesn't want you to cooperate with him. He doesn't want you to, you know, assist him somehow. It's going to happen. He's just telling you so that he can see whether you will it, whether you want it. And he's not talking about your psychological will. Your psychological. He's talking about your spiritual will. He's talking about faith. He's talking about your faith. Jim, do you believe I'm able? Yeah, you probably are. Do you believe I'm able to work with you? I don't know. I have my doubts. But if you really were God and you really created the world and created me and so on and so forth, I suppose you could. But I'm awfully strong. I'm awfully hard to work with. And I'm thinking psychologically. But God says, but do you think I'm able? Yeah, I guess so. But I am mean at times. And I have a bad side. How many have a bad side? I have a bad side. It doesn't always come out. I hold it back. My God, you don't know how much trouble it is to hold it back. Sometimes it wants to come out, and I've done a lot of work to keep that thing down in. How many times did I want to hit Peg? I mean, I wanted to. She knows it. I would be red in the face. I could just, you know. One time she said, if I had a knife, I'd stab you. And we were in the kitchen at that point. But I was against the knife drawer, you know, so I stayed right there. Because she meant that. She meant that. I know she meant that. Oh, it's good. It's good. You love it? Don't you love it? I thought to myself, there better be a God. Because tonight when I go to bed, isn't that funny? Don't you think that's funny? You live in terror. Because of all the things I've done, I counted them up. I remembered a few of them. You know, she might take this occasion. She's a little bit crazy right now. She might take this occasion and forget herself. My troubles are over. Hi-ya! You read about it on television. I mean, you know, you, newspaper, television, whatever. You know, people are crazy these days. They're crazy. She might have taken something other than Tylenol. So you live in fear, in terror. And here's what God says. Here's what God says. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Fear not. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Boy, you could go to bed on that. You could walk through life on that. You could even express your doubt, your fear. It's just psychological. Just psychological. Many people are psychological homosexuals. They're psychological perverts. They're psychological. It's okay. It's just psychological. You understand? Many people are foolish because they think their psychological nature is their true nature. This world doesn't know that there's a spiritual realm higher. And it's up to God. It's not up to you to find it. It's up to God to reveal it. I'm going to say that again. It's not up to you to find it. It's up to God who loves you to find you, to come down. It's not up for you to go up. It's up to Him to come down. Get down. You know, when you have little children, I remember Margaret, you know, when the other kids were born, we had waited 7 years before we had children. And so the other one's okay. But by the time we had Margaret, how what's the difference between them all?
The first one was 29, the last one 41.
41, anyway, bunch of years. Well, I was getting a little old for getting down on the ground. And Margaret was just a little kid, and when I'd come home, Dad, let's get down and roll. I don't want to. No, Dad, let's play. Yeah, but I can't. I'll never get up. I can get down, but I don't think I can get up. You know, and they want to bounce on you and hit you and climb on you and stuff. You know, that's fun. I can't, Margaret, honest. If you pull me down, Margaret, don't. No. Oh, my God, you're pulling me down. And then she wanted me to get down on her level. It wasn't up to her to get big. It was up to me to get small. Get down, roll on the ground. Never get up again. It's the same with God. Once He came to earth, He's never the same again. Did you hear what I said? He's never up in heaven, you know, without us fulfilled. Now He has to have His beloved. He's passionately in love now. And Jesus has fallen in love with His bride. He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. She'll be perfect. She'll be perfect. The people that He wanted, He'll get. Because His Son said, Dad, what? Son, I always wanted the holy people. I'm just not getting too many. Well, how many you got so far? Not too many. Not too many. I had Abraham, but he's a faith man. I'm not getting very many that are more than just faith. I'm not getting the faith plus the walk. I'm just getting the faith. Y'all don't see the humor of that. You know, faith active in love, he's not getting the active part. He's just getting the faith. Could we get in just half price? No. It's like, well, that was a discount day at the first of the year, but now we're expecting you to, you know, be shaped. So Jesus said, well, Dad, let me go down and I'll get some for you. I'll fix it. Son, you want to rethink that a little bit. They actually aren't going to like you if you go down there, and they actually might do to you what they wanted to do to me. What's that, Dad? I love you. I think you're the greatest. Yeah, well, they don't quite have that opinion. They like their freedom so that they can become licentious. And I'm afraid they'll kill you. I'm afraid they're going to kill you. No problem, Dad. I'll do it. Well, that's cute, boy. But I mean it. I mean, they'll kill you really, not just in theory. I don't care, Dad. Well, let's wait till the right time. So 4,000 years later, Jesus comes. It's a little bit of a wait there. And so Jesus finally shows up, and sure enough, we killed him, just like Plan B said what happened. But then, thank God, the Holy Spirit comes after that and revives everything. You know, after you've done your worst, just like Job, there's nothing there but the everlasting love of God. After you've said your worst and thought your worst and done your worst, it's nothing. Doesn't change God's love. Isn't going to change Plan A. Plan A was never Plan A. Plan A was always to give it to you so you'd fail, so He could give you Plan C, which is Plan A. In other words, His last plan was always His first plan. He never expected anyone to be holy except Jesus. So Plan A did happen. He never expected you to do anything but sin, Plan B, so that He could give you mercy and power, Plan C. And that fulfilled Plan A, everything just the way God wanted it to be. Do you see how wise God is? What if He'd only had Plan A? You would never know His mercy. What if he only had plan A? You'd never know his power, his majesty, his glory. You'd see it, but you just take it for granted. Now you understand. It's part of growing up. You love your parents, but you don't really understand them. Till you go through parenting, till you go through a little bit of life, and then all of a sudden you begin to appreciate them. Because otherwise you'll just judge them and think, I wonder why my parents were so dysfunctional. Why didn't I have normal parents? You did. You did. You had normal parents. That's the sad part. All your parents are normal. Normally dysfunctional. They're just normally dysfunctional. And you will be the same. You will do the same. And then you get married and you are just as dysfunctional. In fact, it's worse. Because you also criticize them as they had criticized theirs. So on. So the world never gets any better. It just continues in its hypocrisy. Jesus comes down to stop that endless thing and says, over, stop, I love you. Kill me, get it over with. Then let me forgive you. Then let me fill you with my spirit. The thing that you feared will come upon you. Everything that Job feared, everybody here fears. Everything that Job feared, that your health would go, it will. Mine is. The older you get, the more aware you are that the tent is fraying. You can actually see it coming apart. The rain comes in easily. You know, the little plumbing things don't work. The teeth, you know, you just know they're going to fall out any minute. They crack and pretty soon they fall into the sink. And, you know, you just know, oh my God, you know, this is going to be bad. This is, I wrote more, you know, and you don't know. It's awful. And, you know, the wrinkles, the gravity just taking over, you know, and I know all those things you can do and take, but, you know, too bad. I'm going to remind you, this could be you someday. I'm not going to change my hair color or anything. I know a lot of you are fixing up, but it's okay. It's okay. Better to face reality for me. Better to face reality. Get it over with right away. Kill God and, like the woman said, curse God and die. Curse God and die. Get it over with. See whether or not God has something good on the other side that you don't know about. See whether this God that you are cursing is really the God that you're cursing or just psychologically. It's just that's as high as man can get is to kill his God. That's about it. It's the pious way of saying, curse God and die. It's the pious way of saying, I cursed the day I was born. It's the same. You cursed the day you were born. God birthed you. God's the one that did it. You're cursing God. If you curse what he has blessed, you're cursing God. If you curse what he has blessed, that day was a blessed day. You just don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand. How can man understand God? Well, just explain. He can't. Even if he did, you wouldn't understand. Well, God, if you just give a hint. No, no, he's not going to give a hint. How many know that God is good? His mercy endureth forever. He's not going to change. He's just like a great parent, okay? I mean, your earthly parents sin and so on, but God doesn't. But he's patient with you. It isn't Job that's being tested, it's God. It isn't Job that's being tested, it's God. He knows Job's going to get an A+. When it's all over with, Job will be restored to all that he lost. His children are in heaven. You don't have to worry about all that and think about it. He didn't lose anything. He can't lose anything. And he kept his wife. It's great to have a wife like that. That is my wife. I love it. I love it. That is a great wife to have. You never know where, you don't have to guess where she is. I hate you. Ah, there you have it. We got right away to it. It used to take her 20 years to get to that point. Now we get to it right away. Would that you were dead. Thank you. Here's some more burnt offering. This is very good. Thank you. No, no. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. But the point is this. Stop holding people to a higher standard than they can achieve. Hold God to a high standard. God is the one that loves you. Don't look to your mate. Don't put the pressure on your mate, on yourself. I'm going to behave myself. would be a good religious person. That was Job. Job knew better, but he hadn't experienced yet. He'd heard it with the hearing of the ear, but he hadn't seen it with the seeing of the eye. Now he's about to experience what he believed, and God put him through the fire. He afflicted him without knowledge. This is Israel. This is Israel today, not America. Job is Israel. Israel today is being stripped of everything. But she thinks that she's stripped, not at all. It's still yet coming. And it'll happen in a moment. And her cities will be like devastated, in ruins, destroyed. She'll have no place to run. She'll be scraping the boils. She will be in great pain and agony. And we will all say to her, ah, this is because you Jews were proud. You know, you're only getting what you deserve. If you hadn't been so religious, so arrogant, this wouldn't have happened to you. I hate to tell you that, but you know, you need to hear the truth. We Gentiles were raised up by God to tell you the truth. Aren't you blessed? We're blessed. We're all blessed. Hallelujah. Shalom. No. God is sending his people through the furnace because he is ready. They are ready to find out that this is the God that keeps plan A after plan B through plan C so that he restores not their original condition, but his original intention. Big difference. His original intention to have a holy people and to use Israel to do so is still going to be brought to pass, though it appeareth dead. No hope. On the dung heap, on the ash pile, with boils, with no wealth, with no relationship, with no friend, with no beloved. That's when God acts. Just when all hope is lost, that's when God always comes through. Until you get to the end of yourself, too, and you curse God, and you curse the day you were born, on that day, the Lord reveals his glory. So Job sits there. His friends, of course, interrupt God's answer to Job. And his friends begin to tell him all the great theology, only to show what Judaism, apart from God, has to offer. Nothing. The best of man is foolishness, evil. The best that you can say as a human being, a friend, someone who sees you in trouble and wants to offer some little comfort to you, don't take it. Don't receive it. No one loves you. I want to say this again. No one cares about you. I want to say this again. You are not liked. You never have been and never will be. Now, oh, Pastor Jim, don't say that. Okay, I won't say it. You are not liked. No one likes you. You're not likable. Anything that happens to you, you deserve. It's good. Good preaching. I can feel the arrows. And I, who have told you the truth. But, you see, when God is done, Israel will be perfected in love. She will. And she will be grateful and thankful and worship God with all her heart and soul and strength. And the Gentiles and the Jews will be gathered together as one people. It hasn't yet happened, but it will in the furnace of affliction. Here's where we all come together. We all have these fears. We all identify with these fears. We all hate what happened to him because it could happen to us. It will. But it's going to happen to Israel. And this time, don't be Job's friend. Be God's friend. Speak to him the truth. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. You don't have to understand what he's doing, but I guarantee you it's for your good. It's for his good. It's working out his purposes. And don't worry. He wants to use you to show that the righteous sometimes suffer for the sake of the guilty. The righteous are not always suffering for their own sake, but for the sake of someone else. You don't know why you're suffering, why you're afflicted, why you're in pain, why you're in anguish, why you're in grief. And no one can comfort you. No one. Don't expect man to comfort you in such a situation because man has no solution. It's only God. God loves you. And even if it were sin, that's not why God's afflicting you. Do you think You think he's afflicting you because you've sinned? The wages of sin is death. You're not dead. It's not afflicting you because you're in sin. Even if it were your sin, it's not why you're being afflicted. It's out of his purpose, his love. Who sinned? This man or his parents? Not for either. It's for the glory of God. Any affliction that you go through is for the glory of God. It's for your good, other people's good. Don't worry about it. God knows. So go ahead, just rest. If good comes, praise the Lord. If bad comes, praise the Lord. Who cares? What's the difference? What's the difference? What's the difference? Quelle différence? There's no difference. It doesn't make a difference. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Are you like that? Are you there? Are you there? Well, a little furnace will help you get there. A little affliction will help you get there. Don't worry, it's just a theology right now in your head. But soon it'll be an experience. Then you will learn. You will learn. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that a blessing? Okay, if you're not ready for that, raise your hand. If you're not ready for that. If you don't want to go through the furnace right now. Come on. You don't have to lie. It's okay. You don't know what you want? You don't want to go through? You've been through enough already? Okay. You'll be spared. Do you want to go through? You trust God, or do you want to just go your own way safe? You want to trust God, will you? You want to stay in the boat or get out in the water? Get in the water. Is that the same as get in the water? Oh, glory. It's okay. What I'm trying to tell you is this. God's not going to put you through if you're not ready. He wouldn't ever put anyone through who wasn't going to get an A+. It's just if you trust him. That's all. He's just saying, trust me. 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 That's all. Who's the God that blessed Job is the same God that'll deliver him and redeem him and set him free and give him twice as much as he had before. Don't worry. Nothing is lost. Nothing good can be lost ever, 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 ever. Do you not know God? God is a wonderful Father. And all the troubles in this world, whether you caused them or the devil caused them or God caused them or someone else caused them, makes no difference. God is in the business of redeeming, of saving, of salvaging, of blessing, of enriching, of perfecting, of fulfilling his plan. He won't fail. So, blessed are you. I like going through Job. We are going to go through his friends' arguments over the next through a few weeks and so on. But you know what? You'll really enjoy them because it's you. It's you. Those are the things you have said or people have said to you in your agony, in your suffering, and in your pain. They've had your solution. And they know nothing because you're the beloved of God. Blessed are you. Blessed are those ears that hear and eyes that see that God is good. Perfect love casts out all fear. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord God, that you have given us this word today to encourage us, to teach us endurance, that when we go through the pain, the grief, the agony, with no answers, with no understanding, with no grasp of what you're up to, it's only temporary. It's not permanent. Fear is permanent only in you, but it's temporary in everything else. And you don't want us to be afraid. You don't want us to be worried. You don't want us to be troubled. You don't want us to think ahead. You don't want us to even make plans other than ordinary plans. You don't want us to be frightened, guilty, condemned, anxious, dread, full of dread. You don't want that. You want us to be happy, to rejoice, to praise your name, and trust you that as you take us step by step, we will arrive at your intended goal. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Love you all. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, full of grace, to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, his perfect peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen and amen.